Wahoo! It is Wednesday night. You are listening to WVEWLP 107.7 FM. This is This Show Is So Gay. I'm Ken.
And I'm Becca.
It's been a while since we've sat here together.
It's been forever.
And so I felt we had to play a little celebrate.
Yeah, we're back.
Welcome back.
Thank you. You too.
How was your trip?
I had an awesome trip. How was yours?
Mine was amazing. It was amazing. We're going to talk about...
We're going to talk about that later.
We're going to talk about my trip. We have an amazing, huge, colossally ginormous show tonight as we welcome the legendary, legendary Lori Jean a little bit later on, in actually just a few minutes.
How lucky are we?
We are... I'm feeling a little bit humbled, and I'm a little bit nervous. I'm a little bit doped up on call medicine, so if I have a coughing fit, apologies to our listeners. Let's start out with New York. Can we talk about New York a little?
It's all
going down in New York right now. New York was making a ton of progress, and then some funny shenanigans started happening. Did you read about this?
Shenanigans? No, I
didn't. Shenanigans.
How did I miss shenanigans?
You missed the shenanigans. So what happened was, a couple days ago, the Republicans and some rogue Democrats secretly engineered a parliamentary power play, okay, in the New York State Senate that ousted the Senate leader and flipped control of the chamber. And then the Democrats responded by leaving the floor. They were shocked, locking the doors to the Senate chamber and refusing to open them. You missed all this?
I missed all of this.
Oh, it was total
I was
drama.
In France.
Total drama. The insurgents reacted by threatening to hold a session in a nearby park if necessary.
All right, were you just, like, watching some really weird late-night special on
no,
TV?
No, this is all true. That's why I wanted to bring it up, because it's like a
That's
soap
opera.
That's
weird, even for Albany.
It's even for Albany. It's a That's... little bit bizarre. So, folks are not too sure what this means for marriage rights in New York, how things are going to move forward. Governor Patterson said, quote, "This is getting a little ridiculous. They've got to act like adults." So, we will keep you posted on what's going on with New York. They were making a lot of progress, and I know folks are really upset because they're not sure what's going to happen next. They were on the verge of really passing some fantastic bills to grant equal rights for same-sex couples, but now the chamber door is locked, and no one can get in, and there's a session being held out in a park. So... It's craziness. It's craziness.
I have to read more about this.
You have to read more about
that. I really do.
Well, let's bring you back to speed. Can we start with a poll? We don't often go with polls so early in the show, but this one of the polls this week. Becca, what would you like to see happen first? Here are your four choices.
Okay, I'm listening.
The repealing of the Defense of Marriage Act, the removal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the passing of the Matthew Shepard Hate Crimes Prevention Act, or same-sex marriage legalized within your state.
Matthew Shepard Hate Crime Act.
Why?
Because physical safety wins.
Yay.
And if we've been through this.
We've been through this. And if you would like to vote on this, Becca is manning the instant messenger tonight. You can always talk to us throughout the show. This is a live show. If you're listening to on podcast, we're probably not online. But if you are listening to this right now, Wednesday night between 9 and 10 p.m., go on and instant message Becca on the AIM at This Show Is So Gay and tell her what you think is the most important right now. Well, 44%, the majority, plurality, I should say, said it was the repealing of the Defense of Marriage Act. So that's the most important.
But what good is getting married if you can be beaten to death with very few consequences?
There you go. Number two was the removal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Number three was the passing of the Matthew Shepard Hate Crimes Prevention Act. And in fourth place, the same-sex marriage legalized within my state. So yes, no, marriage is still the issue. It is the issue, Becca. Don't look at me like that. We must accept it.
I forgot how angry I was about this. I went on vacation. I'm like, ooh, sunshine and Paris. And now I'm like,
Are you upset because
That's
of
it,
the
I'm
most...
fired up.
Are you upset because of the most important gay story out there?
I still... No, you're not going to go there. He's going to go there, everybody. All right, fine. What's the most important? I'm
Miss
just going to walk right into it. Yeah.
Miss California has lost her position. I would like a moment of silence for Miss California, and now that moment of silence is over, and let's move on from that. But we had to talk about it. It's very emotional.
And our guest tonight is from California.
Our guest tonight is from California. We have so much to talk with her about. I'm brimming with topics. So we are going to start out by playing her rather festive music. Can we play some of her rather festive music?
What is it, like holiday tunes?
It's like a bar mitzvah.
Oh, like a bar mitzvah. It's like excellent. A bar mitzvah.
So let's get into the Lori Jean bar mitzvah and go from there. Here we go. Right. Oh my gosh, golly, it is like a bat mitzvah all over again. Guest, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, let's introduce you. Lori Jean is without a doubt one of the most effective leaders in the LGBT community. She currently serves as the CEO of the Los Angeles Gay and Lesbian Center, having previously served as the executive director of the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force. She was also, Lori Jean, is this true? Were you one of the first openly gay or lesbian people in history to receive a top secret security clearance from the CIA?
Yes, the very first.
Oh my gosh. And you're on this show. Unbelievable. All right.
You'll be investigated soon.
It wouldn't be the first time. And she has repeatedly been named to Out Magazine's 50 most powerful gay men and women in America. We are honored and a whole ton of a lot more than humbled to welcome Lori Jean to this show. It's so gay. Welcome, Lori Jean.
I am thrilled to be here.
Oh my gosh. I'm a little overwhelmed.
What an honor.
I'm a little overwhelmed. All right, let's start. We have so much to talk about. Are you ready, Lori Jean?
I am ready.
All right, first, tell our listeners and tell Becca, I have not talked about it yet tonight, tell them what I have been doing in California for the past week.
Well, Ken has been peddling his little butt off.
No, I was a roadie.
Oh, you were a roadie? Oh, that's right, I forgot. Sorry.
He was dishing out grub.
Sorry. Well, then let's say the cyclist had it easy in comparison to what Cam was
doing. Nice. Like my partner. So you're saying my partner had it easy because he was pedaling and I had it hard because I was a roadie.
I knew one of you was a rider. what you've both been involved in is really this phenomenal, magical, it's almost impossible to really explain it to other people, experience of the AIDS life cycle, which is a bike ride over 7 days from San Francisco to Los Angeles to raise money for HIV and AIDS-related services of my organization, the LA Gay and Lesbian Center, and the San Francisco AIDS Foundation. But what it really is and what makes it so special, so remarkable, so magical, is that this whole group of people comes together, 2,150 riders, 500 roadies for a week, about half the people are straight. And we start out as a group that's just as different as we can possibly be. And by the end of this ride, we have become a community and spend a week sort of in this little utopian world where everybody is kind and loving and tender and hilarious with one another.
Now, let's get this part out of the way because I promised some of my fellow roadies that I could get you to do this. If I were to go to the evening announcements and they said, and next up to speak is Lori Jean, what would then come out of your mouth?
Hello, roadies! Hello, riders!
All right. I didn't think for a second that I wouldn't be able to get you to do it, but, you know, it had to be done.
Well,
it had to be done.
I want to apologize to your radio audience.
Wow, you didn't need a megaphone, did you?
No, she was there. She was there. So now, one of the more important questions. Somewhere around day two, Lori Jean, I started calling people hun. Why did that happen?
It happened because people are stretched to the max on this event.
Okay.
You're working really hard. Your body's stressed, whether you're roadieing or riding. And at the same time, everybody is so nice to each other.
Yes.
And so you feel close to complete strangers because everybody is engaged in one truly noble and laudable goal, and that's making a difference in the fight against AIDS. And so we have that in common. We create these amazing bonds with strangers.
And so it's okay, because I don't normally call people hun, and all of a sudden, more eggs hun? More oatmeal hun?
I think it was the hairnet.
No, I didn't have to wear hairnet.
Well, and see, none of the dykes punched you out for calling them hun.
None.
See how sweet everybody was?
None. None at all. Some of the guys gave me some looks, but I think that was something else, Lori Jean, but we won't get into that at all.
All right, moving along.
All right, Lori Jean, tell everybody about the state of funding right now in California.
Well, as people may know, the California budget is a mess, and there were ballot measures that were voted on in May that were supposed to at least fix it for the time being, and they failed, which means we have like a $25 billion deficit, and right off the bat, the governor's proposed budget suggests that we cut more than $80 million out of HIV and AIDS-related funding, which would essentially completely eliminate dollars for HIV prevention activities. And he's even proposed dramatic cuts to the AIDS Drug Assistance Program, which, if they came to fruition, would mean that people who needed their AIDS drugs wouldn't get them. So we're headed into some very rocky waters while we try to convince our elected leaders not to be so short-sighted and not to allow those cuts to go through.
So what are your next steps then?
Well, just today, members of my team were up in Sacramento trying to convince legislators not to allow these cuts to happen. We are orchestrating phone calls and letter writing. We're having one-on-one meetings. We're trying to gather together all of us who provide these kinds of services to develop a strategy that will enable us to make the most powerful case. Just one example is, if people don't get their drugs, they're going to get sick. So many of them will die. They will be an incredible burden on the healthcare system in this state, which will cost a jillion times more than what it would just cost to pay for the drugs.
Right.
Absolutely.
So we're trying to make those kinds of arguments.
Right. And now you're in California, and a lot of the specifics that you're going to be talking about are really state issues, but we're in Vermont and we have listeners all over the country, and I'm wondering, what you think. Why should out-of-staters care about what's going on in California? How does it affect us, and what can we do to help?
Well, if it's happening in California, you can bet it's happening everywhere. Only maybe it's not getting as big a publicity in other places where the LGB infrastructure or the AIDS infrastructure may be less, not as large, not as active. And so in almost any other state, similar things are happening. And there is danger with federal money as well, which goes to all 50 states. And so any place where they're where HIV and AIDS are significant issues and where the government is funding services for members of our community who are impacted by HIV and AIDS, and still in California and in the nation, the majority of people who are impacted by HIV and AIDS are gay and bisexual men, and increasingly gay and bisexual men of color. So it's an issue that is important to all of us, even though many people may have forgotten or they're not aware of what the current statistics are.
Right. And now, we've talked with a few AIDS activists lately, and we've been talking a lot on our show about the AIDS epidemic and what's going on now and the budget cuts, and it just seems to be a lot of really bad news a lot of the time. How do you stay active in this? This has been a long battle, and you've been involved with it for years. How do you stay motivated? How do you keep up your energy to do all of this good work and to run events like the one Life Cycle that just happened? I mean,
well, you know, first of all, it's a labor of love for me. When I came to work for the center the first time, and when I worked for the task force, I did it because it was what I loved. I had been a lawyer in the private sector and actually working for the federal government, so the public sector. And but it wasn't fulfilling. And I decided that I wanted to become a professional homosexual.
Nice.
I did. And but, you know, it does, sometimes it gets wearisome. And I have to tell the truth that events like the AIDS Life Cycle feed me and give me enormous inspiration. To watch all of these people, and I've ridden three times myself, is an extraordinary opportunity that very few of my colleagues get. So I get an enormous boost every year this time of year to go on. And then on those days when I just can't stand it anymore and I think, oh my God, I just don't see how I can keep doing this, they don't happen very often, but when they do, I walk downstairs to the second floor in our headquarters building where we have a residential program for homeless LGBT kids who've been kicked out of their homes by their families simply because they're gay or they're transgender or whatever the issue might be. And it takes me about 3 seconds talking to one of those young people to remember what keeps me going.
Yeah.
And
right.
If I'm not talking to them, then I sit in the lobby of our state-of-the-art AIDS medical clinic, and I talk to one of our clients there, and then I remember, oh, yeah, this is the rewarding part that makes up for all the rest.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, right before AIDS Life Cycle started last week, you wrote an open letter to President Obama. Can I read a couple lines from it?
Please.
Quote, "We know the country faces many serious challenges, and we have strived to be patient. We've waited for the slightest sign you would live up to your promise to be a fierce advocate for our equal rights while watching gay and lesbian members of the armed forces who have never been more needed get discharged from the military. And so far you have done nothing. No stop-loss order. No call to cease such foolish and discriminatory actions that make our nation less safe. We not only need to hear from our president, we need his action, and we need it now." It was, first and foremost, a brilliant letter, Lori Jean. It was so well written and so powerful, and we're so enormously grateful that you put it down in words as you did.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Kim.
What kinds of responses have you gotten from the letter?
Well, it has been quite amazing. I have heard from people all over the country, and I've even heard from a few people outside the country. But one of the things that happened is right in the middle of the ride, on Red Dress Day, to be exact, Chris Matthews called and wanted me to appear on Hardball.
Oh, nice.
And so I said I was talking to my PR guy, and I declined. I said, hey, I'm out here with 2,150 writers and 500 roadies, and they're all dressed in red today, and I'm in the middle of nowhere. I can't do it. And they ended up being quite insistent, so I broke away from the ride for a few hours and was on Hardball, and where the issue of Obama's in action to date, and some of the harm that it's causing was front and center. So that got me a lot of publicity.
Yeah. And what's going on there? Why? What is with the inaction?
You know, I think that we're not top on his priority list, for one thing. I also think that he has a number of advisors, and frankly, I'd like to know who some of them are,
right,
who are advising him that this is not in his best interest to tackle any of these issues now. But when he is standing by and allowing gay and lesbian members of the military to be drummed out, when he could, with a very simple action, stop it for the time being. I mean, we are the last industrialized nation in the world to exclude gay and lesbian people from the military, and it's just ridiculous to think that we have to put off righting this horrible wrong any longer. But I don't think he wants to tackle the military leaders on this issue right now, and what prompted me to write the letter first was that, combined by the fact that we had just had the Supreme Court decision in California,
right,
that upheld Proposition 8, and Obama was coming to L.A. the very next day, and he hadn't said a word about it. And I felt like, all right, you know, enough time has gone by. We've been quiet. We've been patient. We've given you a pass till now. But it's time for you to live up to your promises. We're part of your constituents, too, and you made us some promises, and we expect you to live up to them. You know, part of my view, you guys, is that we can be friends with our elected leaders, and, in fact, many of them are our friends, but part of our job is to push them and to make it difficult for them to ignore us. That's how we will gain the ground that we need to gain.
Yeah.
Right. Now, one thing we faced in Vermont with the fight for gay marriage here was people weren't necessarily against gay marriage, or so they said. They just thought we were wasting the legislators' time during an economic crisis. Now, do you think that part of why Obama and maybe the national scene is, I don't want to say ignoring these issues, but maybe not making them a higher priority is because of the economic downturn and...
Oh, yeah. I do think that's part of it, and in fact, I would never expect issues like this to trump a concern about the economy. But when you look at the broad range of issues that, in fact, Obama is commenting on,
right,
and is addressing, as far as I'm concerned, our issues rise to levels far above many of those. So I think there's more at play than that.
And
he's the President of the United States. He must always be able to address multiple issues. And at the very least, he could issue a statement. His press agent couldn't even address the issue when he was asked at the White House press conference.
Right.
Meanwhile, former Vice President Dick Cheney, speaking on Monday, said, quote, "I think, you know, freedom means freedom for everyone. I think people ought to be free to enter into any kind of union they wish, any kind of arrangement they wish." It almost looks like former Vice President Dick Cheney is saying more about marriage rights than President Obama is.
Indeed he is. And I think that should be an embarrassment to Barack Obama, who, even though he has publicly said that he does not support the freedom to marry for same-sex couples, I don't believe he believes that in his heart for a minute, because before he was running for president, he said the opposite.
Right.
And so that is very disappointing, because I generally like to think of President Obama as a very intellectually honest man, and I don't think he's been that way on this issue. And if you can have Dick Cheney coming out on behalf of the freedom to marry, if you can have Senator Dianne Feinstein, not a paragon of liberalism,
right,
coming out on behalf of same-sex marriage, he can do it too. And we're going to face a very interesting issue in 3 years when people are running again. And there has never been a candidate who has won the presidency who lost both Iowa and New Hampshire. In Iowa and New Hampshire now, same-sex marriage is legal.
Exactly.
So what are they going to do? Go in and say, well, I think you people are crazy here in your state? Because by then, the vast majority of people, if they're not already, will be in support of this issue, just as happened in Massachusetts. And they're not going to take very kindly to candidates coming in there and suggesting that they are wrong. So he's got 3 years to get his act together, if you ask me.
Right. Now, there have been a lot of stories in the past couple weeks that have been, well, not stories, really, or editorials, that have been very critical of the LGBT leadership of the national organization, saying that everyone is running in different directions, and where is the true leadership? And there is a little bit of a sense of that, but we wanted to give you an opportunity to respond to that. It's not to say that people don't have different agendas, but I think maybe there's a little bit of a struggle with the gay community of which direction to turn.
And which priorities.
Which priorities. How would you respond to that?
Well, I think people have been wanting to give Obama a chance.
Right.
You know, there have been some suggestions that perhaps some of our national organizations are too cozy with the Obama administration and are suggesting that he can take his time. I don't know what's fact or fiction when it comes to that. But I think the time has ended to sit quietly by. I think it's very important that our national organizations speak up and make it very clear that they expect President Obama to take some leadership.
Right.
And
right.
Not in the back room say, oh, hey, you know, take your time, that's fine with us.
Right.
We can't expect everything, of course, but we can expect at the very least that he is saying some of the right things and moving in the right direction.
Now, do you wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and say, holy crap, I'm one of the most powerful LGBT leaders in the country?
No, usually I wake up and say, holy crap, my schedule looks crazy today. I've got a million things to do, and it's not going to be enough.
Okay.
Well, if you need help, you can always call us.
We're here for you.
Hey, I can use all the help I can get. Even a lot thrown in there works, too.
All right, so now here's the fun part. This is the part where you get to tell all of our listeners what your song choices say about Lori Jean. Okay.
Oh, God.
So take a moment.
Let's take a deep breath. Deep breath.
You know, go over to your couch and
lay
contemplate.
Lay down. What does We Are Family say about you?
Well, that was the song that was very popular when I was coming out.
Okay.
And at that time, I felt like I had found a place in my life for the first time in many years. I mean, I wasn't one of those kids who always knew that I was different and that knew that I was a lesbian. I was a late bloomer in that regard. But I feel like that song epitomizes my view and my approach to the LGBT community. We don't always act like a loving family, but I really think we are a family, and it would do us good to remember that.
Absolutely. Good one. That was good, Lori. That was good.
You know, I want to ask you another question really quickly. I know we're in our analyze your music mode, but I just was thinking for a moment about how unusual it is for an out woman to be involved in AIDS and HIV issues. Which is really a shame. I mean, there's just so much segregation within our community. I mean, obviously Ken and I do not subscribe to that, but how do you think we can work together better?
Well, you know, I feel that it was the AIDS epidemic that actually brought the men and women of our community together, because suddenly this community that had been very divided, very separate, both because of the men and the women, was finding that the men were dying.
Yeah.
And somebody had to help, and the women had to rise to the occasion. And lesbians in droves all over the country rose to the occasion, and it brought us together. And, in fact, today one of our most preeminent AIDS service organizations, Gay Men's Health Crisis in New York, is run by a lesbian.
Yes, we had her on the show a few weeks ago.
So, but it's not as much as it used to be. And
right.
I think in part that's because, thank God, AIDS is no longer the number one cause of death for adults in our country, but it's still an emergency situation, if you ask me, and it still needs a lot of attention. And one of the things that I think I would like to see more of is examples of where men are rising to the occasion for the women.
Yes.
In our community.
Mm. Yes, absolutely. All right, Becca allowed you to pause for a moment. But we got to get back to this.
Right,
this
we're not letting you off the hook with the music.
All right.
We're only going to make you do one more.
Okay.
So you specified Anything by Cyndi Lauper. And I chose True Colors for you. Not that that was necessarily your song choice. What is it about Cyndi Lauper that really speaks to our community?
You know, she was one of the first musicians to be such a great friend to us.
Yeah.
And openly supportive of our issues. And here she is, a straight woman who has embraced us and advocated on our behalf. And in fact, it's great you chose the True Colors because
oh, good.
She did, for the past several years, has been on her True Colors tour and has been donating proceeds from that tour to the LGBT community. And one of the beneficiaries has been Centerlink, which is the National Association of LGBT Community Centers. And she, you know, she's been there for us long before it was stylish, long before many other people were. And so she'll always have a soft place in my heart.
Fantastic. You did well. You did well at the game.
I think she
passed.
That
was good.
Yeah, you put me on the spot there.
A little bit, a little bit. You do fine. You do fine. Lori Jean, it was a true honor to be a part of AIDS Life Cycle. Andrew and I are already registered for next year. We're so excited. It was my first California trip, so that was very exciting.
And you saw some of the most beautiful parts of the state.
Well, I did. I saw the camps, though. I was sleeping all the other times because serving breakfast, not so easy, as it turns out. Not so easy. As soon as I hit that bus, I was gone.
Well,
I was gone.
I can understand that, but at least Andrew got to see it.
Andrew,
how about you riding next year?
You know, the trouble is that the training part would be at the end of the semester for me, which is a really busy time. But I know. Thanks, Becca.
I mean, he'll be fundraising.
I will be fundraising. And
someone has to serve breakfast.
And someone has... No, well, actually, I'm looking to do gear and tent next year. Lori Jean, can you put in a good word for me?
You bet.
All right. I would like to do gear and tent. It is...
You hurt your head closing the window in the studio less than half an hour ago.
I'm going to be fine with gear and tent. It'll be fine. It's not the point of the story.
Can he lift something heavy?
I can lift something heavy.
All right.
It is a true, true honor to have you on our show. Can we get a hello, Becca, and a hello, Ken, in the same way that you do? I'm going to turn down your volume a little bit before we do it. Go for it.
Hello, Becca. Hello, Ken.
Oh, gosh. It's such an honor.
I feel so inspired. We need to save that for any time. We're starting
that.
To have our energy lag. We're just going to pull that out. And
the work you are doing, Lori Jean, is an inspiration to everybody who listens to our show, to everybody in this country. You really bring this community together. It truly is an honor to have you on our show. I'm thrilled that we could have you on.
You are so sweet, both of you. Thank you so much. I wish you all the best of luck, and ask me back anytime.
Oh, thank
Excellent.
You so much.
Thank
all
you.
The best.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
But I see your true colors shining through. I see your true colors, and that's why I love you. So don't be afraid to let them show your true colors. Your true colors are beautiful. Like a rainbow. Show me a smile, and don't be unhappy. Can't remember when I last saw you laughing. This world makes you crazy, and you've taken all you can bear. You call me up, 'cause you know I'll be there, and I see. true colors shining through. I see your true colors, and that's why I love you. So don't be afraid to let them show your true colors. Your true colors are beautiful. Like a
That was Cyndi Lauper doing some True Colors as requested by tonight's legendary, legendary guest, Lori Jean. What a pleasure to have her on.
Absolutely.
An absolute pleasure. All right, one more story for folks, and then I'm going to bed. I'm going to go do some NyQuil. The cutest story, the cutest gay story of the week. Did you see the cutest gay story of the week?
The cutest gay story, no.
From the German zoo, a pair of gay male penguins are raising a chick from an egg that was abandoned by its parents. The egg was placed in the male penguin's nest after its parents rejected it in late April. The males incubated it for 30 days before it hatched and have continued to care for it. We do not yet know the chick's gender. The veterinarian said the birds, the two gay male birds, whose names are Z and VL Punked, those are their names, Z and VL Punked.
It is a German zoo.
Are one of the three same-sex pairs among the zoo's 20 Humboldt penguins that have attempted to mate. And this was the quote, and this is what we're going to leave you with tonight. This was the quote from the zoo. The zoo said in a statement on its website that, quote, sex and coupling in our world don't always have something to do with reproduction. It was just a beautiful story. And so the new penguin mascots for our show, you can have Z. I'm taking VL Punked.
All right. Okay. Works for me.
I want to do a really quick shout out to all the folks that I served with on AIDS Life Cycle. If you are really looking for something to do, you must register for AIDS Life Cycle. It is like a week, like nothing you've ever done. And they tell you right away, you're going to live this week the way you want to live the other 51 weeks of the year. And you know, I'm a jaded New Yorker. I'm like, yeah, whatever. And then within 10 minutes, you know it. You know it's true. You know that's where you should be. You know it's utopia. It's a little hard to come down after it. I'm telling you that right now. It's very difficult to be immersed back in the real world, but it is an experience that I really want everybody to have. So whether you can bike the 545 miles or whether you want to be a roadie, and holy cow, do the roadies work their butts off, you really must go to AIDSLifeCycle.org. I urge you to sign up for it. I urge you to sign up for it. So I'm doing a very quick shout out, and I hesitate to do this, Becca, because I'm sure that I'm going to forget people, and I know there are people I'm forgetting, and I hugely apologize, but just very quickly, Jim, Randy, Amy, Claire, Peter, the dreamy Jefferson, Sarah, Josephine, Maddie, Abby, who's going to work a gear truck with me next year, and if I say it on the air, that means that she has to do it, Jody and Jeff, who gave me a lot of lip, Mary and David, the best parents ever that aren't mine, Betsy and Betty, and especially my two partners in crime for the entire ride, a new Becca in my life.
Becca 2.
Becca 2, who kept leaving her station. She kept leaving her station. There was nothing I had to do. I had to keep covering for her. It was terrible. She kept leaving her station. But she's, you know, she's nice.
Yeah.
She's
nice. It's kind of like when this Becca leaves you at the radio station.
Exactly. I was screaming at her, please come back. I'm stranded. Please help out the organization. But no, she was gone.
That's terrible.
No, she didn't leave. She's the best.
Leaves me the best, Becca?
No, she was the best. Oh. And Sergey, the one and the only white Russian, they were my compatriots. We explored California together. You two, Becca and Serge, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. You really made this an amazing experience for me. So please register. Get out there, do something. Check out, there's a march that Cleve Jones just announced that he wants to do a march on October 11th. So Becca and I are going to consider going down to DC and marching on Washington. So check out that news story. And that's pretty much it for now. It's a thrill to be back with you, Becca.
I'm so happy we're
back. I'm happy to be back with you, and that's pretty much it.
And we'll be here next week.
We will be here next
week.
Who's
here next week?
We have another amazing guest next week. Jason Lorber, who is a Vermont state representative and also a stand-up comic, will be calling into our show, so we will be thrilled to host him.
And we just keep going.
And we just keep going. So that's pretty much it, folks. Thank you so much, as always, for supporting us, for listening in. Get out there. Have a great gay week. And remember, why be gay when you can be so, so gay?
I'm still standing here. 3 months and I'm getting better, yeah. 3 months and I still am. 3 months and it's getting harder now. 3 months I've been living here without you now. 3 months and 3 months. Oh, 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 oh. 3 months and it's getting harder now. 3 months I've been living here without you now. 3 months, yeah. 3 months. And I'm still sober. 'Picked all my weeds, but can't.